Inspirational Breakfast.
You are indeed. Lizzie on her holes this week, but I'm here on my own. Well, not totally on my own. It's Topical Tuesday. Steve Maltz has joined me in the studio. He's a Messianic Jew, a Jew who believes in Jesus, and the author of a number of books on the topic. And on this Topical Tuesday, we're talking about the plight of Jewish people in the 21st century and whether the world's continuing prejudice towards them should be relevant to us as Christians. The latest of Steve Maltz's books, and very good it is as well, and we'll talk more about this later, it's called Outcast Nation, and we want to hear your thoughts on the topic. Why won't the world leave Israel alone? Why are we prejudiced against the Jews and against Israel? And perhaps you're just indifferent to their fate. Why are so many Christians indifferent to their fate? Get in touch and tell us what you think. Here's how.
Call 08450 21 21 21. Email breakfast at premier.org.uk. Premier to 64477.
Look forward to hearing from you and It's Topical Tuesday, and this morning's topic is the plight of Jewish people in the 21st century, and whether you are one of those who are simply indifferent to what happens to them, or whether you are maybe even anti. The world is continuing to be prejudiced against them, and we gave a few examples a little bit earlier. For example, in Germany, at a very young age, German school children are already using the word Jew as an insult. Jewish graves have been vandalised in many European countries, and in Britain too. And even without that kind of obvious racial hatred, for many Christians, although the idea that these are the people who put Jesus to death, as Christians often used to say, that's dying out a little these days, there's still a huge indifference towards the people who are seen as having forfeited the mantle of God's chosen people. Steve Maltz is here to inform us, and he's written a brilliant book on the subject called Outcast Nation: Israel, the Jews and You. Steve, it's very obvious from skimming through your book, there's lots of stuff that in the general consciousness we've got wrong about Israel and the Jews, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the key to it is to actually look at the history and don't look at the prejudices and the misinformation that you get from the media, but do your own research and go right back to the beginning.
And for a lot of people, I know one of the key things is that they talk about the Jewish treatment of the Palestinians, Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. Sure. The whole business, which only seems to be emerging recently, not just from your book, but from other sources, that it was Jordan that actually created that enclave for the Palestinians. It was Jordan who invaded. It was it was the surrounding countries who took all the Jewish property and attacked the Jews. I mean, you know, it's not as straightforward as just the Jews being nasty to the Palestinians.
Well, it is. It's misinformation that comes out of one's prejudices. Again, I must talk about history, and the history you should really look at is the history at the time of the First World War and afterwards, what Britain did in particular. And and yes, what the area known as the West Bank is not stolen by the Jews. It was stolen by the Jordanians, who illegally annexed it in 1950. And before that, the land of Palestine, if we talk about west and east of the Jordan River, was actually given to the Jewish people through the Balfour Declaration and ratified by an international treaty at the San Remo Conference in 1920. So it is international law.
And of course, I believe that Israel didn't want all that Palestinian land that borders with Jordan, but the Jordans didn't want the Palestinians back because they spelled trouble because they were trying to overthrow the king.
Well, the reason for that is because they had the Palestinians in camps. You know, if they'd integrated the Palestinians into Jordanian society, then you wouldn't have these people sort of growing in hatred. And basically, you got this thing, I think 1970, Black September, where the Palestinians and the Jordanians were killing each other. Mm. And the leadership, Yasser Arafat, and the leadership were sent out of Jordan. So, you know, it is a problem that the Arab leaders created. You know, the Palestinian people deserve to live in peace, as do the Jews, but it's the leadership that's caused the problem. Mm. But, you know.
Okay. Our questions this morning, really, to you folks are why won't the world leave Israel alone? Why are we still so prejudiced against the Jews? And maybe you say, well, I'm not. But maybe you are. Why are Christians, so many Christians, indifferent to the fate of Israel? Because although they may well have temporarily forfeited their place as God's special people, God never does that in long. You know, God is compassionate and has promised that the Jews will return. This whole idea of a theology that says the Jews are out, we are the now chosen descendants of Abraham, that's a temporary position. We are simply grafted on, aren't we?
John, you've really got it. I don't need to say anymore. I think you don't need me here.
We do need you here. You've got a lot more information, Steve, about this than me. When you were researching this book, what else did you discover that you thought, oh my goodness, that's really interesting? That knocks this idea on the head.
I think the key to the whole subject is God himself. It's the character of God and the faithfulness of God. Because if God had made promises, which he did in the Old Testament, to Abraham, granting the land as an everlasting possession, and also to the Jewish people in Jeremiah when he says, you know, only until the stars fall out of the sky will you cease to become a nation before me. Those were promises that God made to people. Now, if he can just go back on those promises, how do we know that we're safe in our salvation? Because then he can go back on promises to us in the new covenant.
And we know that he can't.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So it's the same God.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe you're listening this morning, maybe you've been on one of the premier trips to Israel. Maybe you've been on your own trip to Israel or with other organisations and you've got a view. We'd like to hear from you, please. Have you felt prejudice against the Jews in any sort of way? Or are you simply indifferent to their fate? Where do you stand on this so-called replacement theology, which seems to suggest that Christians have taken the prime position now and the Jews are out of the picture altogether permanently. Where do you stand on that? We'd like to hear from you. Here's how to get in touch.
Call 08450 21 21 21. Email breakfast@premier.org.uk or text the word premier to 64477.
You can also tweet us at Premier IB, at Premier IB. Look forward to hearing from you. Got Pauline on the line. Do you want to pop on your headphones there, Steve? Pauline from Bridgewater in Somerset. Hello, Pauline. Good morning
to
you.
Hello there.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Israel?
No, unfortunately not, but my dear friend has. And I just wanted to say, she is so upset that people don't understand the importance of Israel. I mean, Jesus, in God's word, it says that Jesus will reign in Jerusalem. But, you know, the churches don't get it. The church that, I can't go to church now, but the minister of the church that I used to go to just doesn't preach about this. It doesn't seem to be important. And my friend belongs to a Prayer for Israel group, and she's absolutely passionate about people knowing about this. Unfortunately, she doesn't listen to Premier Radio, which she was this morning, and I'm sure she'd love to read that Steve's book, you know. Yeah.
Well, we'll give you the details on how to get a copy. Maybe you can get a copy for her and send it to her.
Well, I can give it to her. But I just want... it's very good that Steve is on talking about this today, because so many Christian people aren't being taught properly about all this. I mean, I wouldn't... If my friend hadn't kept telling me, and she's quite, you know, vehement about all these things... I mean, I wouldn't have really understood myself, and I'm glad I do, really.
All right, Pauline. Well, thank you. Thank you very much indeed for that. And why not call your friend up if you can and get her to listen?
She might be asleep. Bless her. She's 77.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Fully understand. All right, Pauline. Bless you. Thank you very much indeed for your call. Pauline from Bridgewater in Somerset there. Let me repeat that. I picked this up from your book, actually, Steve, but a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. I don't think we attach sufficient importance to the restoration of the Jews, but certainly, if there's anything promised in the Bible, it is this. That really highlights what Pauline was saying. We don't seem to see the point in worrying too much about it, because we can't see what to do about it, I suppose.
That's it. It's such a big subject that I think people, unfortunately Christians, tend to stick their heads in the ground and just say, oh, well, it doesn't affect me, therefore I won't go into it. But it is an important... That's why the book was called Israel, the Jews and You in particular. I want people to see that it's important for people to have an opinion on the subject.
Right. Okay. Rose is on the line from North London somewhere. Hello, Rose. Good morning to you. Hello, Rose. Are you there? Hello, Rose. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello there. Good morning to you. Yeah. What did you want to say?
Oh, hello. Yes. Well, I'm Jewish background myself. Grandparents. But the And actually, they came out of the Jewish faith, it was Orthodox, and didn't have any faith. Well, they had it deep within them, but no practicing faith as such.
Right.
So we were actually left to find God for ourselves. And I think, you know, that basically, scriptures, God is faithful to his word, but he also gives us choice to believe or not believe. So he says, whoever seeks me, your heart will find me. And that was true for me. And but I also do believe that he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, you know, unless the Jews or Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, agnostics, atheists, unless they actually believe in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then they'll be lost. So, you know, that's the word of God, so that's what we hold on to.
That's a, in a sense, a bigger topic altogether, one I don't want to get too much
into. Well, it isn't. The thing is, it's not bigotry.
No, I didn't say it's bigotry.
But the fact is, you know, I mean, I've, you know, actually met a Jewish person recently, a lovely young lady, and she said, well, I'm Jewish, and I said, well, that's great, you know, I'm Christian. And I said, you know, we're both special, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, basically, and you know, that opened the door to friendship. So
that's fantastic.
I've found actually that a lot of Jewish people, I do pray for them when I see them, you know, with their little skull caps, you know.
Right, these are the Hasidics, probably.
And the children are so lovely. And so, you know, I feel sort of a kinship for them.
Right.
But at the same time, they seem to be very frightened of sort of communicating with other people, you know, they want to keep themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely right about that. I will bring up that topic later, but absolutely right about that. Steve, briefly, we've got some travel coming up,
just very quickly, very, very important issue that that some Christians have got confused, and that is about salvation. Jews are not saved any other way than through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people, you may be the chosen people as a people, but individually, every single Jew needs to find Jesus for salvation. Jews are not saved just by the fact of being Jewish. And unfortunately, there is a lot of bad teaching out there that sort of says, leave the Jews alone, we don't need to evangelize them because they've got it okay because they're Jewish through the Old Covenant, and that is wrong.
Okay. Awesome. More from Steve. More about his book, The Outcast Nation, Israel, the Jews and You, in a couple of minutes' time. Steve Maltz is my guest on this topical Tuesday here on Premier Inspirational Breakfast, and we're talking about the plight of Jewish people in the 21st century. We're simply asking, why are so many still prejudiced against the Jews? Why is there still so much racial hatred of them? Why are so many Christians indifferent to their fate? It's Topical Tuesday here on Inspirational Breakfast on Premier. We're talking about the plight of the Jewish people in the 21st century. Steve Maltz is with us. He's a Messianic Jew, a Jew who believes in Jesus, if you don't know exactly what that means. He's the author of a number of books on the topic, the latest of which is called Outcast Nation. It is always a controversial topic, but we are posing the question this morning about the Jews. Why are we still so prejudiced against them, and why are so many Christians indifferent to their fate? We're going to take a couple of callers, and then I know Steve is bursting to talk about a whole series of subjects here concerned with the book. Let's talk to Chris in Dagenham. Hello, Chris. Good morning to you. Thanks for your call.
Yes, good morning, John.
Good morning.
One of the reasons why people are not happy with the Jews at the moment is because the ethnic cleansing of Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish professor Ilan Pappi has written a book documenting how the Jews, not necessarily all the Jews, the Zionists, deliberately planned in advance the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. It's all documented in his book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. And I'm afraid your program promotes it. You're carrying advertisements for what is a terrorist government. You're part and parcel of it. The ethnic cleansing of Palestine is going on every single day of the week, 265 days a year. It's gone on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have Palestinians on your program?
Well, hang on.
Why don't you talk about the outcast in the Middle East or the Palestinians?
We have had Stephen Sizer on the programme, so we got loads of complaints from people with an opposite point of view. We had Garth Hewitt on the programme, and we got loads of complaints from people. It is a very controversial subject, Chris.
You're financed by the Israeli government on your programme. You have regular trips to Israel. You don't mention the plight of Palestinians when you're
there. That's really not true. But Steve, would you like to respond to Chris on that?
I don't think debate will actually get us very far in this because people have such entrenched positions. There's nothing I'm going to say that is going to make Chris change his mind or even check what he's actually saying or thinking. So, you know, it's just to say, you know, look around the Middle East, other countries. Look at Syria, look at Saudi Arabia, look at ethnic cleansing elsewhere. It's ridiculous. Why concentrate on one area?
Chris, it would be worth, if you get a chance, take a look at Steve's book, Outcast Nation. There's some very interesting historical facts which the popular press have got completely wrong and often accuse Israel of one thing or another. I try to stand kind of in the middle on this, and we have had people from both sides, but I take what you're saying, and thank you for your call. The Reverend Vincent is also on the line. Hello, Reverend Vincent. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Where do you stand on all this? Are we still prejudiced against the Jews?
Well, about time. I've been waiting for a long time for this debate on Premier because it still baffles me. It's like a mystery. Why people hate the Jews, I don't understand it. And I think, unfortunately, many Christians have decided to act by the media from what they hear politically and from the media, instead of concentrating on faith and what the Word of God says about the Jewish people.
Okay.
And once they have settled down in 1948 as a nation, why wouldn't people leave them alone to survive as a nation? Why couldn't they come together with the Palestinians or whatever and sort out their own nation, and the Palestinians sort out their own nation? But people are bent on destroying the Jews completely. That is, I still can't understand it. And why?
There's surely, Reverend Vincent, there's surely a spiritual element to all of this, isn't it? If they are God's chosen people, then the world, the flesh, and the devil is against them.
Yeah, but why do Christians need to? In fact, I have so many friends. I mean, ministers as well. When they speak, you think, where are they coming from? They speak like they're talking for the media and for the other nations. They're not even thinking that, well, this is a nation that God established right from the very beginning. And he has never said, I want to destroy this nation. I want to do away with them completely. Why are Christians not backing the Jews?
Okay, well, you're parroting, in a sense, our question, and I don't have the answer to it, but thank you very much indeed for your call. Sometimes, Steve, I feel the Jews don't help themselves. I was telling you off air about the row I had with my taxi driver last time I was there, which I don't often have rows with people, but he would not listen to my point of view. He would make a statement, and I would say something, and I'd only be halfway through the sentence, and he would come in and completely overwhelm me with a whole series of other things. And then you also get what is clearly the arrogance of the Hasidic Jews, who will refuse to speak to a Gentile. We are, you know, just not worth talking to. That attitude often seems to pervade Jewish leadership, doesn't it? And ordinary Jewish people as well, causing people to think, well, they're just an arrogant bunch who are going to do what they want to do. How do you respond to that?
Good point. The first example of the taxi driver, he would have been a native-born Israeli. And
he was.
They have a name, they call themselves Sabra, which is like, it's a fruit.
It's prickly pear.
It's prickly on the outside but soft on the inside.
Yep.
I think when you are with people who, you know, a lot of that was, I mean, it came out of the ashes of the Holocaust. So a lot of the older Jews would have come over from suffering in Germany and Poland, etc., would have the idea that the world is totally against them, and living your life day by day, knowing that you're surrounded by countries that hate you, by a world that's indifferent to you, it's not going to make you into a very sort of settled person.
Yes,
you know, it's going to affect the way that you deal with the world. And I'm afraid in your case, you know, he saw you as perhaps a representative of the Christian Europe that created the conditions of the Holocaust. So perhaps he was having
very
a go
point.
At you. That, you know.
Okay.
And the other thing about the Hasidim, they see themselves, obviously they live their lives according to their interpretation of the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. And they see themselves still necessary to be a people separate. So they go out of their way to make themselves separate. They're still dressing as they did in the 19th century because they see that as their calling, just to look different.
It marks them out. Their diet, their clothing, their attitude towards it.
Yeah. It's not from the Bible. It's just from their cultural background in Europe and Russia.
Right.
But, you know, at least they're true to their beliefs.
Betty is on the line in somewhere in London. Hello, Betty. Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
You've worked in Israel, I understand. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes, over 15 years. I was there from 82 till 97.
I'm envious.
I can really recommend it. It was a calling from God. It wasn't my idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's too long to tell the details.
Where did you work?
I worked in Jerusalem, like all around, sometimes outside.
Yeah.
The Lord just opened the doors. It was an amazing experience.
Mm.
And I really recommend everyone to visit, even if they don't want to sort of, but just to go and really see for themselves, not to listen to the media, not to listen to these, to the papers and so on, such opposition. They've got a big gathering. It's in March, and people really need to pray. It's in Bethlehem, and they're all anti. They're all in opposition. There is World Council churches, all big leaders. You just ask Steve Maltz, and he can tell you anyone wants details.
Right.
It really needs prayer. It's a big issue. And people, if only people read the word and not listen to the media. I just quote Ezekiel 39, it says 7, I think it's 7, right. I will make known my holy name among my people Israel. I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the Holy One in Israel. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is the day I have spoken of. Now, the Lord is returning.
Mm.
We know.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows that things seem to be sort of running out, running down. And we don't know, but he didn't say when he's coming, but he is returning. And we know that Satan has really his last fling, as it were. And that's why, partly, there's such anti against Israel, you know, in all forms. People are mixed there. You've got ultra, as just said. You've got different people. You've got left-wing there. Some of them, even in the Knesset, the parliament, want to give the land away. It's just ridiculous. And it's God's land. He said it will never be divided. It's his land.
Yeah.
There have been five wars of recent, or one two wars when I was there.
Mm.
And well, they hardly had any ammunition when it had come back, you know, people, survivors from the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And,
Betty, I would recommend you read Steve's book, Outcast Nation. Cause
I know Steve.
You know Steve? Okay.
I know his books.
Okay.
Yes,
he's looking slightly puzzled. But
I'll get his book.
All right. Betty, we must move on, but thank you very much indeed. Betty, who worked in Israel for some 15 years, I am most envious. I'd love to go and work in Israel for a few years, because there's something about that place when you've been a few times that draws you back and draws you back, and I can't put my finger on what it is. A great... we'll have to talk more about why you wrote the book in a couple of minutes, Steve, because yeah. I know I want to ask you that question, but a great text here, long text from Carol, says Romans 1, verse 16... lets us know all that Paul says about Israel, and it keeps jumping off the screen, about the need for us all to hear that Jesus Christ died for all nations, first for the Jews, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God clearly set aside the geographical boundaries for his Jewish people, Israel, and Steve is right, it was all changed post-war because basically people don't believe what God's word said, so they chose to update their understanding according to popular opinion. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem in obedience to God, pray for all Jews and for Palestinians to recognize Jesus as Savior, the Messiah, says Carol. Carol, thank you very much indeed for that, Steve.
Okay.
Steve, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment or two after the travel. Don't forget our breakfast challenge this morning. It's a headline challenge. We're asking you to come up with a headline to the story about the young couple Craig Fish and Hannah Gill, who are to be married this summer. What would your headline be? You are indeed, and I'm John Pantry, and Steve Maltz is here with me in the studio, and it's Topical Tuesday when we're talking about today the plight of the Jews. Steve Maltz has written a great book called Outcast Nations, Israel, the Jews and You, and Steve, let's get right to why did you write this book? What was behind all that?
Well, actually, I wrote two other books about 8-9 years ago called The Land of Many Names about Israel and The People of Many Names about the Jewish people. They are now out of print, so I thought let's get the two books, put them together, and create a single narrative, because the land and the people are just so tightly connected. It's a single story, so I've done that and just brought the whole thing up to date, so that you get the whole story right from Abraham right up to now. But I think the key thing, really, it can be seen in two ways. It can be seen as man's story, as a story of a people, and how they've struggled to survive all those thousands of years, mm-hmm. Right up to the present. Or you can look at the real reason behind the story, which is God's story. And it's really God's story that we need to focus on. It doesn't matter how many debates that we have and what position we have. It really is to know what God's heart is in this whole narrative. And the question that you have to ask two questions. Firstly, how have one people lasted for so many years, longer than any other single group of people? We're talking about 4,000 years more. The Jews are still around. None of the old people who are around, you know, the Assyrians and the Hittites, and all, they've all gone. The Jews are still here. That's one question that needs to be asked. But the other question is, how can a people be so hated by so many people for so many reasons throughout history? It's not just one reason, and it's not just on the ostensibly in the religious arena, but it's in politics, it's economics, it's racial, it's just about everything you can think of. So
yeah, we talk a lot about racism today, but when it comes to the Jews, as we've seen from some of those examples I gave earlier, in many European countries, the word Jew is a hate term, which you dare not say about somebody of another skin colour.
Absolutely, and it's unbelievable. In Germany, where Thought had done so much repentance after the war and made such a change, that suddenly this sort of neo-fascism's come back. But the point I'm trying to make is that you have the Jewish people surviving for thousands of years despite being hated. Mm. And it makes the question even more poignant that a people that have been, you know, in the targets of so many other enemies to destroy them, from Haman and Pharaoh in the olden days.
Right, so Haman right back in the days of Esther.
And all these sort of mini antichrists that go all through history up to Hitler and some of the Arab leaders now. They just want to kill Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an irrational hatred.
And you have to ask yourself why, and that's a great starting point. A lot of that information is in Steve's book, Outcast Nation, Israel, the Jews New. Where can people get hold of that, Steve?
They can get hold of it, through Amazon, I suppose. You can do that through the Premier website, mm-hmm. through the Premier shop.
Okay.
Or they can deal direct through me. Just type my name in, Steve Maltz, that's steveemaltz.com, or just stick my name in and it'll get to it eventually.
Lots of people writing in, Steve, as always, and we'll do this again sometime, because it's such an ongoing topic. It will not go away until Jesus returns. Yvonne says, good morning to you and Steve. Anyone who says they love Jesus but despises the Jewish people is fooling themselves. We are grafted into the vine. I know this is controversial, but the Palestinians are a made-up people. Britain is the one responsible for this mess, and Israel giving away land that God had given them. I don't agree with everything that Israel does, but they are talking about wiping off anyone. They are not talking about wiping anyone off the face of the map. Haman tried to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Look what happened to him. Mm-hmm. the point you were just making. As a Christian, how can one be prejudiced against the Jews, says Mike in Romford. Pauline in Somerset, we heard from her earlier, didn't we? People don't understand about the Jewish people. They are God's chosen people. The pastor of my friend's church can't get his head around that. Mm. I went to Israel, says Doreen in West Wales, and I met a Jew, and it's given me a whole different view of them. We need to pray for them and to love them. Chris in Dagenham was the dissenting voice this morning, although no doubt there are others listening that haven't contacted us. Very biased topic to share on air, he said. On the other hand, the Reverend Vincent said, I find it bizarre Christians are joining the world and media in the hatred of the Jews. It's a mystery to me. What else can we find? The Reverend Kingdom Ngoki says, Israel is not as people think. God has called Israel to himself, and everything that we see shows God's work. I suspect that's a kind of a truncated version of a longer message that he gave. Romans 10, says someone anonymously, speaks about no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. Mm. No difference, they underline. So there we are. A very controversial topic, one that will continue to be controversial in the years to come.
I mean, I posed the questions. There is an answer. The questions were, you know, how the Jews survived despite being hated by so many people. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very simple answer. They've survived because there's a great power sustaining them, who loves them and wants them to survive, and that is God. And the reason why they're being attacked is because there's another power who is intent on destroying them. And the fact that the Jews are still around is because God versus Satan. It's no... you know, it's not an equal contest. Mm. God will prevail.
And you're not in the club of those who say Israel can do no wrong.
Absolutely not. And that's the there's two misconceptions. Firstly, that Jews are saved by the fact of being Jewish, which is wrong. Jews are only saved through Jesus. And the other misconception is somehow those of us who perhaps would call themselves, say, Christian Zionists, are sort of raising up the country of Israel as this sort of impeccably ultra holy sort of state. But it's a secular state. It's no different to any Western country. In fact, I've just heard that I think Tel Aviv is now the gay capital of the world, taken over from San Francisco. There's things that go on in Israel that's just as debauched and bad and, you know,
and decisions that are made that are wrong.
Yeah, that it's run by secular people. It's they may be Jews, but they're not saved. Yeah, they're not believers.
And to be fair, Christians make plenty of mistakes
absolutely.
Too, as many as anybody.
Absolutely. But it's just that some, you know, we mustn't demonize them, but we mustn't lionize them either.
Yeah.
They're just a group of people trying to get their country to live.
And
to
we
live
do
in peace,
have to
know.
Have compassion for the Palestinians, who
absolutely.
Have become the pawns of the Arab nations, have taken their anger out on the Jewish people.
Yeah. So I looked at a statistic. If the four richest Arab individuals put their money together, they could rehouse every single one of those Palestinians living currently in refugee camps, rehouse them in the vast amount of lands that the Arabs have at the moment.
Unfortunately, it suits them to have the Palestinians living like that.
Which is why it's not an issue that we should be talking about. People should see beyond the smokescreen.
Not that we should be talking about, but we still need to have compassion and do
what
can be done.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Steve, great to talk to you. It's a difficult subject, one that will always raise the hackles in some and the cheers of others. It's just the way the subject is. And as I say, we shall return to it. And no doubt you will write more books
before
on
I do, can I just mention one little thing about Premier, a new feature from the Premier website?
Yeah.
Coming up in February, they're allowing me to write articles called Yeshua Explored.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for, if you go to premier.org.uk in February, I'm not sure when, if you're on the mailing list, then Premier will tell you. But it's looking at Jesus from a Hebraic point of view and looking at the Bible and the scriptures. It's going to be really exciting, particularly for those that know nothing about the subject. So just keep visiting Premier and you'll see it soon.
All right, Steve, thank you very much indeed for joining us. No doubt you'll be with us again.